for the most part, they had no idea what to say to it. You know, a couple of them said, you know, knowing who you are, Jim, we're not surprised. But for the most part, it was, are you kidding me? You know, they're just, it was this, if they had nothing in their frame of reference that would allow them to figure out why somebody would do something like that. And literally, my supervisor at the agency, in the meeting that I had with him, he just kind of kept nodding his head and going, okay. you know, like I was speaking to him in Greek, and he had no idea what I was actually saying. So it was a bit of a shock, especially to those, and it continues to be a shock to those that I grew up with and who knew me, you know, in my college days and early young adulthood. They're kind of amazed by that. My fraternity brothers, you know, said, well, we never saw that coming, so. The question was, you know, this change that was in my countenance, did the people that I worked with experience that? And I think they did, Frank. I would hope they did. I mean, I remember having a couple personnel problems very early, you know, in coming to Christ. The old way of that I used to handle personnel problems is they weren't problems very long. It's like, you're out of here. But in talking with this mentor of mine and thinking about it and praying about it, I thought, well, I'm going to try it this Jesus way, you know, this whole grace thing. And you know, maybe there's something going on in this. Actually, there's something actually going on in this person's life that's making it hard for them to perform the way they ought to perform. I mean, it's criminal, frankly, the way I used to treat people before that. I remember it was an administrative assistant that worked in our department that was just absolutely almost unproductive. And so I sat down and I said, what's going on in your life that I need to know about? And she began to spin out this story about, you know, she's a single mom and you know, was struggling with a number of things. And, you know, by the end of it, I wanted to promote her to senior vice president just because, you know, she needed a break in her life. And so I think people did begin, I hope people began to see a difference in me. So that the ones that I was working with for the last 2-3 years before I went into ministry would say, oh, yeah, we saw that coming. Yeah, Kurt?
Just curiosity, how old were your children when you decided to make the change in lifestyle, and what was that conversation like?
Our oldest daughter was 8, and our youngest daughter was 5. So the 5-year-old, you know, didn't really perceive a whole lot of difference other than, you know, the change of houses for her, which she actually loved. Because we used to live in this big house where both the girls had their own bedrooms, and our younger daughter's experience was always trying to follow her older sister into her bedroom and having the door slammed, you know, in her face. And they're kind of standing there, and that younger sister, older sister deal. And now they had to share a room, and that our younger daughter just thought that was just about the best thing that ever happened to her. And you know what? It was for both of them. Our older daughter, you know, was able to make a little bit of a distinction between the lifestyles. You know, she was in a really prestigious private school and I moved from there into the LA public school system. I'll tell you that story if I can just for a second how the Lord was just so gracious for us in that moment. And she, for a couple of years, you know, if I said, you know, Lauren, we can't do that, she would look at me and she'd go, but we could have done that when we were rich, right? I go, yeah. And she goes, all right. My biggest concern as a dad in that transition was, what am I going to do about my children? What kind of father pulls his children out of great private schools and puts them in the LA public school system? I remember praying about it and the Lord saying, Jim, do you think it's, and literally this was, you know, one of the 3 or 4 times in my life where I've heard the Lord speak to me audibly. He said, Jim, do you think it's possible that I might love them more than you? Okay. So in my mind, in my fallen nature, I thought, okay, somebody in our congregation is going to be so blown away by what this is all taking place that they're just going to step up and say, hey, we're going to put your daughters through school. Don't worry about it. And so we waited around for a while, and that phone call never came. But one day, Marta heard about a school in the LA public school system, one school, that had a program for highly gifted kids. And of course, all of our kids are gifted, and ours were gifted. So, it had a 3-year waiting list just to get tested to get into the school. And so we prayed, and Marta went down and told her story, told our story to the principal of the school, who turned out to be a Jewish woman. And she listened to Marta's story, and her response was, she goes, "That story is incredible." She goes, "I'm not a Christian, but I'm a Jewish woman, and I feel somehow that God is telling me that this is my Esther moment." And so she allowed our older daughter into the school, and then our younger daughter, followed in as a legacy. And so God, just opened a door that was exactly different from the door that we thought would open. And so, the girls, and at the end of the day, both of them went to UCLA. We never thought we'd be able to do that on a youth pastor's salary, and it just happened. God wanted it to happen. It's a great question.